Wednesday, June 22, the Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio. Very good morning to you. If you're just tuning in, you're waking up to an Aussie defeat in a one-day series in Sri Lanka. They've lost the series 3-1. There's still a game to go before the two test matches, the first of those starting next week, but a four-run defeat last night. Dave Warner, 99. He was stumped for Australia, won the toss, elected to bowl, a decision that, fair to say, Loz and Pup didn't agree with.
Well, I think it's not I disagree. I'm curious as to why, excuse me, Finchie would, in those conditions, seeing what the pitches have been like, knowing before the toss that Sri Lanka had picked four spinners, I'm curious as to why he thought you wanted bat second when conditions are going to be harder for batting against spin bowling. Just, again, unless there was some dew, but I wasn't at the ground, I didn't see. So he might have reasons, but to me there's a lot of risk on a pitch that's going to turn like that with four spinners in the team. Chasing runs is going to be hard. And I think Australia generally, in one-day cricket particularly, even more than 2020, we are at our best in big games when we put a total on the board. And it doesn't matter what that is. We put 220, we'll defend it. In the past, anyway, we have. You know, we've built our game around that. Whatever we do, whatever we make, we'll make it enough. We'll field well enough. We'll get a run out. We'll take that one-handed catch and we'll back our bowlers to the hilt. So just curious as to why Finchie thought the other way. But, yeah, take nothing away from Sri Lanka. You know, brilliant last game, brilliant this game. And unfortunately for the Aussies, they've still got those issues against, you know, facing spin bowling, which they're going to have to combat in the test matches as well.
Jaden from Brisbane on the text line. And keep them coming, by the way. 0419 767 272 has a missed Aaron Finch. Finch needs to go. There is plenty of young batsmen like Phillippe, Head, McDermott, or even Stoinis that are ready to open the batting with Warner. What are your thoughts, Clarkie?
I think Finchie individually batted pretty well throughout the series. He got 60-odd the other day. He missed out in this game. But he's certainly, in regards to his batting in one-day cricket, his record's very good. He averages over 40 at the top of the order. His 2020 form hasn't been as good as he would like, and I think there's some pressure around that in the lead-up to the World Cup. But, yeah, there's plenty of people, there's plenty of players that want a spot in the team. But, yeah, I think it's hard to say. I think he's still batting well enough to be there. But, yeah, he's tactically, him winning the toss and wanting to bowl first, I think will be questioned today. There's no doubt about it. And that's okay as well as captain. You know, you're allowed to get it wrong or you're allowed to, you know, get it, think you got it right and lose the game. I just think Finchie will be asked that question and he'll have his reasons. And as I said, I'm curious to know why.
Now, if you're just tuning in as well, we spoke to Bulldog just about an hour ago. He was at the airport heading over to Perth for Origin 2 Sunday night in his working capacity. So you can catch up with that on the podcast. Just search for Big Sports Breakfast wherever you get your podcasts. And a text here, morning boys, the scrutiny and pressure Ashley Klein is coming under. He should be getting 100,000 per Origin game. Both coaches shouldn't be allowed to speak to officials at all during the series. Just let the guy go out and referee. No name to that one. But as someone who's been there and done it, Loz, I'm sure that there's just times when you would just like to make sure the officials are aware of stuff you're seeing.
Yeah, and I think most coaches at some stage through an Origin campaign or some stage through the NRL season have a, you know, meeting with the referee's boss just to go through a few things and to see how they're interpreting certain actions in a game. And one thing that has never changed is the ability to control a ruck and what's acceptable and what's not. You know, when you can leave in an Origin game in terms of, you know, defensive systems, you know, getting off the line, because that's another mute point that, you know, always comes up about they were jumping too early. You're always trying to get an advantage. That's the thing you've got to be thinking about. You're always trying to get an advantage when you're playing. So when you're defending, whether it's jump early, whether it's not quite get back your 10 metres, make out you're trying to get back, but then when the ball's played, jump and go again. You know, your markers. When I watch the NRL and you watch the State of Origin closely, you watch how much depth they give themselves and they're never square at marker. You know, they're to the side, whereas your marker, you had to be behind the other marker. Whereas today, you're side by side. So it does make it difficult at times for the dummy half to run. But yeah, you're just trying to apply as much pressure as you possibly can just to make the referees aware of it and put them under pressure by having these articles in the paper, because if they do read it or are told about these articles, I don't know, they might have it in the back of their mind when they're out there on the day refereeing the game.
Give us a call, 1353 53, and also saw some comments, Loz. Greg Alexander saying yesterday he'd expect Matt Burton to kick a few times Sunday night, that it'd be silly if Burton was there and they didn't use his left boot. It's just a question of how they incorporate him, considering he's playing at centre.
Yeah, and that's the big thing, is to get him involved, utilise his kicking game without being the dominant kicker. Because Nathan Cleary, that's one of his strengths, is to be able to be accurate with his kick, find space, put people under pressure with a high ball, be able to roll it into the in goal and get repeat sets of six. Whereas Matt Burton's got this ability to kick long, but also the hang time that he has when he puts the ball in the air. And if you're a back three, or part of the back three, it's difficult when you're sitting there because the ball moves around. And I'd hate to be there under that type of pressure trying to catch the ball when you can hear the footsteps coming. You know you're going to get hammered if you take it, but also when it's difficult to adjust with your footwork, keep your eye on the ball, there's movement, a lot of things going on. Yeah, it's a nightmare for anyone in that back three. So I'm expecting Burton to probably, you know, if they move the ball from left sideline into infield a little bit, maybe they might look at Cleary being on the right, dummy to him and go back to the left side with Luai and Burton kicking. If they're stuck coming out of trouble, Burton getting in off out of his centre position and being stationed near the ruck so they can give him the ball, or another option to Cleary to kick the ball deep. I'd expect him to maybe a two-pass kick at times if they've opened up the field from the right to the left. There's all different options you can utilise Burton, but you've got to be able to think on the run and be able to adapt to it.
Dennis, good morning.
Hello, mate. How you going?
Yeah, good, thanks, mate. What have you got for us this morning?
Sort of half answered me question.
Yeah.
Burton's got to play 5-8. Absolutely. He'll take so much pressure off Cleary. And you described it all, the kicking, everything about it. The element of surprise. They won't know which way to go, Queensland. I think Queensland will still win. I really do. But Burton's boot, mate, he's just... You know, it can kick 60, 70 metres, and they're over 100 metres high.
It had certainly stopped Queensland in their tracks a little bit more if Burton was playing 5-8 in regards to the kicking game. Burton being in a little bit closer, it's hard to defend two kickers rather than one, whereas New South Wales just had Cleary in game one. You know, they mixed it up a lot more than what we did. It's pretty hard to drop Luai because of the combination he has with Cleary. But I'll tell you what, if something did happen to Luai, I think Burton's your next man to go into six. And that's saying something for me, because I think Jack's a wonderful player and I'd have Jack always in my 17 somewhere. But I think the ability of Burton to kick the ball just gets your team out of so much trouble. Plus, he's an outstanding defender and runner as well.
Mate, what about... Is Coruscant in the 17?
He's starting number 9.
Good. I'll tell you, all the Penrith connections were there, and there's nothing wrong with the South Sydney boy, let me tell you. But Coruscant and Cleary understand each other.
And that's a fair point, Dennis. And I think that's one of the reasons why they've decided to start with him and then bring Cookie on. The fact that the game, they're anticipating the game to be fast. It'll be a hard track over there in Perth. There'll be plenty of ball movement. If the ruck's as fast as what it was in game one, fatigue will play a role. And when the game does open up and players are fatigued and you throw Cookie out there on the field, you'd think that he will be able to open the game up to New South Wales' advantage.
Thanks for the call, Dennis. Morning, Matt.
Okay, guys, how are we?
Yeah, pretty good, thanks, mate.
That's the way. Laurie, I was just wondering why, I mean, Burton's in there for obvious reasons, but the combination between him and Josh Adokar at the moment is just, he's unreal. You'd think you'd just bring both of them in and maybe drop Tupou for that reason?
For me, I've got Adokar on my side every day of the week, and I would have had him in there for game one. Yeah. Tupou in game one was brilliant for New South Wales. He was in our top three players. He did nothing wrong.
Don't drop him.
But I think you still strengthen your team with Adokar there. He's a try scorer. He saves tries. The other thing about him is the chemistry that he builds with the group throughout the week. Very passionate, very loud. And I just think if I'm in the opposition team, I'm more worried about Fox than I am Tupou. I know that Tupou will carry the ball, but I'm pretty confident we'll be able to handle him. The only thing you worry about Tupou is possibly that cross-field kick where he's, you know, 6 foot four and he might be able to outleap your winger, but, you know, that's a big if you're going to get him in that situation. But Adokar, in a fast game, around the middle of the ruck, if he goes sniffing for opportunities, I think he would cause Queensland's forward so much grief. The ability to chase kicks, his ability to score tries, I think there's just so much more good in his game than Tupou's game that would worry me and would concern me if I'm coaching against him.
And I guess the other thing as well I wanted to chat about is Freddie. And I feel bad for him, sorry for him, because he's damned if you do, damned if you don't by changing the team. Because obviously I agree with the team that he's got now is a better outfit.
Yeah.
But say if he didn't change the team and said, no, I've picked the right team, I know that this team can beat him, and we get beat, then everyone's got a PhD in hindsight. He's, you know, if he doesn't change the team, he's wrong. If he does change the team, he's wrong.
Yeah.
I feel like...
Yeah, no, and that's a fair point. That is a fair point. And I agree with you in... I look at this team, and I think this is a better team. I really do. I think it's very well thought out. I think there's a balance there. They've got every position covered if something goes wrong. And that's not to say that something that they haven't planned for will happen as well. But I think going into game one, we all questioned some of the decisions that were made. We all sat there with, you know, that look in our eyes going, oh, geez, how's he going to get Crichton into the game? You know, what's he doing in this position? What's, you know, Sims doing in the squad? You know, there was a lot of questions that we couldn't answer ourselves, and New South Wales were confident that that was the side that was going to win. But again, you can look at it the other way as well. The players were given an opportunity. They didn't perform, so they're out. So whose fault is that? The coach gives you the chance to go and play well. The player doesn't play well. The player doesn't cement his spot. You don't own that spot. You know, you're just there wearing that jersey for that game. And if you don't do the business in that game, then you're like everyone else. You are susceptible to criticism. And if you're susceptible to criticism, you're also susceptible to getting dropped.
We're going to have a quiz on the other side of the break, so get involved. 13:53:53. I think it's an exclusive Origin quiz. Loz is going to put the wizard hat on, and we've got signed hats, shirts, stubby holders here for the winner of the quiz this morning. So 13:53:53. By the way, with the one day last night and Dave Warner getting 99, there was a text here before. Here it is. You may have already mentioned it, but does Clarkie know who the last Australian to score 99? In a one-day international was. Just have a wild stab in the dark.
How would I have any... How would I have a clue?
All right, can you give me a
99?
Clue?
99?
Can you give us
a
clue?
Well, I've got a list here, and I'm not sure how official it is, but the previous Australian to make 99 in a one-day international...
A clue. Was at
the
give
Oval.
Me a clue.
Well, it was the Oval at England in London there in 2010.
Who's going to remember 2010?
It's just on the, someone has on the text line. There was no name to it. But.
Cricket tragic.
So is this in a...
One day international.
One day international. Mm. I don't know.
No, couldn't tell you. Wouldn't have a clue. Wouldn't have... What do you mean? Clarkie. I got 99. Did I?
Apparently. 2010. At the Oval.
Have I ever England. Got 99?
Really?
In fact,
99 not out. Hang on, I've got to find the card for this one.
There you go. I didn't think I've ever got 99.
Yeah, against England at the Oval, and 99 not out you were. 106 balls, 5 for 290.
Get on with it, mate. 106 balls. Won. How much game. Time do you need?
Hey, I'll tell you what, have a crack,
99,
son.
I reckon. Well, there you go. I didn't even know I'd ever got 99.
Tim Payne was opener in that game. How'd Open Payne with Shane Watson. Got 8. Mm. Ricky Ponting, 92. Michael Clark, 99. Who else is in this team? James Hopes, Ryan Harris, Doug Bollinger, Sean Tate.
The Wild Thing. Bet the Wild Thing didn't make too many runs. He would have bowled quick, though.
Didn't get a bat.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
So there you go.
So okay. 99 not out.
99 not out.
Geez, you would have been filthy.
Oh, obviously. I can't remember getting it. I don't think I was filthy. Reckon, we won, though, didn't we?
Yeah, you won by
78.
Did you
get 99
runs.
In the test match? Did you get out on a 99
I don't
make
think,
99?
I didn't think I'd ever got 99 in my career. Even in under 12s, I never thought I ever got 99. I know I got some 90s. I'm saying 6, 7, out in the 90s. But I don't think I ever got, I didn't think I ever got 99. So, there you go.
Can you,
there
you go. Well, obviously you can't.
My memory's
I wonder
not,
if you had the strike or you didn't.
Don't know.
There you go, Mido. That's a bit of detective work for you. Find out whether he had the strike
I'll leave
or
that
didn't
to
have the
listeners.
Strike.
They can let us know that.
Well, I wasn't blocking it. If I was on 99, I was going to try and block it for no runs. If I had strike, I would have either got bowled or got 100.
Yeah, they could have bowled leg by. You could have got a leg by. They could have bowled wide. You could have run on the wide.
No, mate. No way.
That's what I mean. You wouldn't have
no way.
Done that.
I'm trying to
get your 100.
Definitely. Yeah. Or I'm getting out trying to get it.
Yeah.
You didn't even get man of the match. Ryan Harris took 5 for.
Fair enough, too. Ryan was a genius. Mm.
All right. Loz, we got a quiz.
What were you going to ask? What was that face?
I was just going to say.
What was that face?
Do you know he's up?
Yeah,
to
I know. I'm
let me go. move on.
Quiz.
All right, Loz, over to you.
Were you going
to
sledge me?
No, well, I just realised.
Yeah.
No one got 100 in that game.
Yes.
My question was going to be.
Yeah.
What's better, a 5 or 100?
5. Oh, no, it's basically, well, the 5 is seen as the bowler's 100.
Yeah, it depends. You ask me, personally, I think a 5-wicket haul is worth more than 100 runs.
Really?
But I do. Because, again, your bowlers win you the games, in my opinion. My attitude as captain was always, I don't care what format, I want to bowl the opposition out. So I needed the bowlers. I needed the bowlers for me to try and win games of cricket the way I like to win.
Yep. Yep.
But if you ask any batsman, they would say, no way. Mate, 5's equal to 100.
And if you look at it this way, your best bowlers average between 20 and 25.
Yeah.
Really.
Yep.
So the analogy in rugby league, Gordy Tallis uses it all the time. Front rowers, all right, they do their job, but the back line wins you the game.
Yep.
So you're saying
I think bowlers win you the game. I think the batters set the foundation. You put the runs on the board, but you need to take 20 wickets in a test match to win a game.
All right, Loz, we're going to get to 8 or 9 questions here. So we got Scott on the line. Morning, Scott. How are you?
Good, fellas. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thanks.
Good. You know your state of origin, Scotty?
I'm hoping so, but let me just start with a very quick story, if I could. I used to, Clarkie just mentioned under 12s. Michael, I used to be very good mates with your cousin, the late Phil Gardner.
Oh, yeah.
And I used to come and watch you play from the age of 12, yourself and a bunch of mates right through with your dad and your mum. So I didn't see you get a 99, but certainly
would have seen plenty of ducks.
yeah. Anyway, back to you, Loz.
Beautiful. What year was the first State of Origin game played?
80.
Beautiful. What was the score in game one of this year's series?
16-10.
Beautiful. Who has been the oldest player to play State of Origin? And you've got to go way back to the first game.
Artie Beaton.
Beautiful.
Good get.
What year did Paul Gallen win the Wally Lewis Medal? We didn't win many series during that golden reign, but the one year we did...
I lived in Queensland, unfortunately, for the whole bloody time. So I didn't have too many good years up there with State of Origin. But I would say, only a guess, but let's go 2012.
Ooh, sorry.
Sorry, Scott.
Who we got up next, Midda?
Joey.
Joey.
Hey, Joey.
How's it going?
Yeah, good, mate. What year did Gal win the Wally Lewis medal?
Was it 2014?
Yes, congratulations. Name three people who have coached and played for New South Wales.
Coached and played for New South Wales. Freddie.
Yep.
Laurie.
Yep.
And Ricky Stewart.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, how about you putting yourself in the quiz?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a new head wobble of head wobbles.
Well, I've got another one here.
Good clue.
No. Here we go. How many State of Origin games have been drawn?
Oh, how many State of Origin games have been drawn?
There's less than five. Less than five.
Yeah, they went to Golden Point a bit, so I'm going to say three.
Ooh, not far off, Joey. Hi, Peter.
Hey, morning, boys.
How many State of Origin games have been drawn?
Oh, well, four.
Sorry, Peter.
Sorry, Pete.
Hi, David.
How you going?
Yeah, good, thanks, Dave. How many State of Origin games have been drawn?
I'll go two.
Well done, Dave. Well done. And you have won the prize. Well, there you go, Middo.
Good on you, Dave. And, two games drawn. So 1999, 10 all, and 2002, 18 all.
I was getting wind up. It was 7:31, so.
I think 2002, that was the Dane Carlaw try, I think, from memory.
Yes. Good memory. You've got a good memory.
Good on you, Dave. Stay on the line. You've won the quiz. You've won, look at this, perfect sort of golf shirt.
Yeah, that's
trucker's cap.
That's better.
A couple of stubby holders. Clark, you don't say a word. We're late for the news. Thanks for all the calls. Yeah. Netball stalwart Julie Fitzgerald coming up shortly. The Giants coach, they've got a preliminary final this weekend against the Vixens in Melbourne. The Vixens lost just two games heading into their final series and lost to the Fever in a bit of a surprise last weekend. So a big task for the Giants as they look to reach another grand final. We'll speak to her shortly. Now, just on the text line here, as we look ahead to Origin 2 in Perth, the People's Publican at Queanbeyan says, I think it's a much better Blues side. Appy starting and injecting a fresh cook off the bench will be a masterstroke. They'll miss Whiten quite a bit, but more importantly, he'll be freshened up for the Raiders, the Blues by eight. My concern for New South Wales is if the game in Perth is fast again. Thought Junior Paolo, his fitness was found out in game one. With no other prop on the bench, he can't get found out again, says old mate from Umina. And I guess he could argue Josh Papali'i, who had an impact certainly in the first 15 minutes, yep. But it didn't take long for him to be off the park. And that was probably just due to the frantic pace that we saw in game one.
Oh, it was a frenetic speed, Middo. And again, when you're not used to it, it's hard to adapt early. And both those front rowers did struggle with the speed of it. They'll be better for it because they, again, know what to expect. And I'm expecting it to be a faster game. Now, we don't know what the variance will be because of refereeing and so forth. Game one, Ashley Klein went out there with a plan, and the plan was to let the players decide and not give away as many penalties as what they do in the NRL. So he let it flowed. But this time around, where both teams are talking about dominating at the ruck and we've got to be not nice and things like that, he could be looking for penalties early in the game. And if it's a stop-start affair, it won't be a fast game. So therefore, these bigger fellas might get more involvement.
Now, Clarkey, one of our listeners has done some investigations into your 99 back in 2010 at the Oval. Hi, boys. I just checked the Crick Info commentary from the game where Pup scored 99 not out. Pup was on 98 at the start of the last over and got a single off the first ball. Steve Smith then hit 10 off the rest of the over and Pup didn't get back on strike.
There you go.
According to the commentary, it looks like they ran a quick two off the second last ball. Maybe Pup should have sent him back, says Hayden.
No stress. And we won. Well played, Smitty. 10 off. That's good.
Hog the strike.
No, it doesn't matter. Just a number. As long as we win.
Our listeners are too good. Thanks for that, Hayden. Okay, huge game Sunday, this weekend, with the Giants up against the Vixens for a spot in the grand final over in the West against the West Coast Fever the following week. And the Giants coming off a 55-48 elimination final win against Collingwood. And joining us now is their coach, Julie Fitzgerald. Julie, good morning to you.
Good morning, everyone.
Here you are, back one game away from the grand final. Describe how big this challenge is against the Vixens this week.
Look, we know it's an enormous challenge. They have definitely been the form team all year. They deserve their minor premiership, and we'll have to play very well to be able to get on top of them.
And how can you worry them, Julie? What are the strengths of your side, do you feel, and how you match up against them?
We've always matched up really well against the Vixens, and I think we're a team that's really started to grow in the second half of the season. I think we're a bit slow to get started at the beginning, but every game we've played in the second round, we've got a little bit better. So you want to be on the rise when you're coming into finals.
Julie, what about you guys in regards to super shots? I feel like, is that a tactic now for you guys? Because you're brilliant.
Well, I just think it's a rule of the game. The super shot's there. Take advantage of it if you need to. I was never a fan of it when it was introduced, but it's there now. I think it's there to stay, so make use of it.
How surprised, Julie, are you with the absence, I guess, of your players in the Diamonds Commonwealth game squad? I think it was only Jamie Lee Price who's a travelling reserve. Is that right?
Yeah, that is true, and I won't hide. I'm bitterly disappointed by it.
And who have you been, I suppose, really impressed with this season that really could have made their mark in that squad at the Commonwealth Games?
I think Jamie Lee, particularly in the back end of the season, has had a very, very good season, and I think she's the type of player that wins matches for you. And I think Sophie Dwyer is such a star of the future, and Amy Parmenter's stats speak for themselves. She gains more ball than any other centre court in the league.
Julie, I'm sure your focus right now is on the Vixens, but it must be hard not to look too far ahead and be excited about that game in Perth, if you can get there.
Oh, look, it's at the back of your mind, but I very much know that this week is the one that counts. The Vixens is a big ask for us. We're on the road. We'll play in front of a very hostile crowd. There's a lot of things that we've got to think about before we look ahead.
At least on the court, Julie, it looks like, obviously been around the sport in Australia for a long time, it looks like the competition's as healthy as it's ever been.
In all the years I've been around, I've never played in a league that's this close. The battle to get into the top four at the end, and even that last round, I've never been involved in one as close as this has been.
And yet we've got this competitiveness on court, and yet these stories around the financial trouble that Netball Australia is reportedly in. I mean, how anxious are the coaches, the players, and other stakeholders around the game?
Look, I think it's disappointing, but I know that from our point of view, our state is in a healthy condition, and I think Netball Australia will be too. I think they'll be able to work their way out of this. They're aware of what they need to do. I don't think we're terribly anxious about it. It's disappointing, but it's something that we know will be resolved.
Julie, what about the experience of being in the final last year? How much has that helped for you and the girls in the position you're in now?
I'm hoping it'll help a lot. We've got some very young players in there, like Tilly McDonald's only 21, Sophie's only 20. So they're on a big learning curve, but I think the experience of last year will help us out. And I think it helped us out last week.
I think we've got a question from one of our listeners here, Steve from Foster. Hey, lads, can you ask Julie, does she think the umps have been easy on held ball call throughout the game, but especially when shooting and more so the two-point shots?
I don't care if they're easy or they're not, as long as they're consistent, and I think they've been pretty consistent on the held ball. As long as you know what to expect, you can cope.
They used to get me on the step all the time, Julie, indoor netball. I was a bad stepper. Whistle blows, back, Clark, step. You know, I loved my netball back in the heyday.
Yeah. Trust you to go off the mark early. we were talking yesterday, Julie, about, in rugby, there's talk about Australia, maybe even breaking away from New Zealand, which is what netball did. In hindsight, was that the right decision, the wrong decision? What do you make of the fact that we're not, we haven't got our teams crossing over and playing in that Trans-Tasman comp anymore?
I think it was a difficult decision when it was made. I was in New Zealand at the time, and I thought it was heartbreaking at the time. But Australia has gone on to develop the best league in the world. And to be able to claim that without any doubt in anyone's mind, I think is a major achievement. And hopefully everything will be resolved and we will continue to grow. And New Zealand, their own league has developed across the time, but it is still nowhere near the standard of the league that's played in Australia.
Well, Julie, let's hope we see the Giants back in the grand final. Good luck against the Vixens this week.
Thank Thank you very much.
Julie Fitzgerald there, the Giants coach, and the market with Tab has the Vixens $1.50, the Giants $2.50. The line is 3.5, Giants the plus. And in the overall winner market, well, the Fever now that they're, well, got the week off and hosting the grand final, $1.60 favourites to win it all. The Vixens $3 and the Giants, the outsiders of the three, it's $6.50.
Go the Giants.
Go the Giants.
Big game, though.
Well, they lost to the Swifts in the GF last year.
I reckon this is their grand final. I reckon if they can beat the Vixens, I reckon they'll win in Perth.
Big ass to win in Melbourne and then go and win in Perth.
Yep, yeah. I reckon this is their grand final. I'm confident. Go the girls.
Fever will choke the following week, you say.
I just reckon you get there. If you can make it, they'll win it. I reckon this is their toughest game.
I played indoor netball once, mixed.
Oh, man.
Never again.
I used to play all the time.
Because I'm too... Like, I was elbowing in the head. I was like, I'm going to get suspended here. And, like, not meaning to, just the fact that, you know, you just find your elbows and knees end up in...
It's not as easy as it looks when you got... Like, you're running, you're sprinting to catch the ball, and then you're meant to catch it and stop on the spot. Mm. It wasn't my strength. I was continuing to run. I'd be like,
wouldn't be good for people with bad knees, would it?
Horrible.
A lot of knee injuries.
A lot of knee and ankle. See, a lot of the players roll their ankles. They wear those big, you know, like their big ankle guard, like the tennis players. Yeah, a lot of ankle rolling. A few punch-ups as well.
Netball?
Mate, mixed netball was rougher than indoor cricket. There's always a stink.
Wasn't there a game recently where one of the girls got elbowed?
Oh, Paige Hadley.
Paige.
Got opened up.
Opened up.
We spoke to Paige a couple of weeks ago.
She likes to play it aggressively, but she copped one as well.
Tough.
But they do cop a little bit. Mm. It goes unnoticed at times.
Clarkie's history of scoring 99s has prompted a few more texts from our listeners
here.
What's
happened now?
Oh, keep them coming, by the way. 0419 767 272. Howdy, boys. Middo. Clarkie scored 99 not out against Mossman in grade cricket as well back in 2016 on his return to grade cricket where they won the Magpies. Come on, pup. 99 is an unwanted score, but it's better than 98.
Yeah, I'm taking 9. I'm not bothered.
You're a legend of our country regardless, says Michael.
Thanks, Michael. I'm happy with 99's better than 0, and there was plenty of zeros in my career, so
I'm
not
complaining. Are you texting into your own show?
Yeah, I'm just letting you know. Who did I get 99 against?
Mossman.
Alan Border Oval.
Okay.
Or at West Oval. Where does
Pratton Park.
Pratton Park.
God's country.
West Ashfield, down the corner. Pratton Park. Good schnitzel lettuce rolls during the lunch break.
Another one here while we're on the cricket theme. Hi, boys. Love the show. Pup Ryan Harris was mentioned this morning. He never seems to get the credit he deserves, but in my opinion was one of our best, backed by great stats. Where do you think he rates? Regards, Dave. And he is one player.
Mate,
for those who've listened to this show over the last 2.5 years.
My first pick.
Loves
people Ryan cannot Harris. Believe that I would pick Ryan Harris over Glenn McGrath. Ryan Harris is my first pick player in any format, in any team in the world. He was my favourite player to play with and to captain.
If his body held up, he would have played 70 more tests.
And his record would have been phenomenal. He was a freak. He was quick. He could swing a brand new ball, but he seamed the ball both ways. He would run through a brick wall for you. He could bat. Athlete in the field. He was an absolute superstar. He just got injured. He started late, started his international career late, pushed his body so hard. You know, his career was very limited. But, yeah, I'm not saying he was better than Glenn McGrath, because Glenn McGrath was the best fast bowler that I played with. Warnie, the best spinner I played with. But Ryan Harris would be my first pick player.
Got Robbo on the line. G'day, Robbo.
Good morning, boys. How are we?
Yeah, not too bad. Thanks, mate. What do you got for us?
Oh, a couple of things. But firstly, Middo, pup, you've got to take charge of that competition.
Law's no good.
Oh, well, hang on. Next question.
What, the quiz?
How many games does State of Origin Laurie Daly play?
just put himself in there?
Daly, Kate, play.
How many tries did I score in 1992?
I did have 7 spare questions here about myself, just in case, Robert.
This has been glossed over, actually.
Oh, my God.
All right, now, a couple of golf stories, and my old mate Shane will know one of these. Firstly, on Saturday, I was playing with my partner, Ace, the 12th at Warringah. Yeah, with a 140-metre par 3. And, yeah, the one hop in, she went. Great shot by the big grey McLeod. But the big one was a little bloke who used to play with us down at Warringah, and his father's name's Darren Crisp. He owns Crispy Pies, not far from you guys, down on Dalambie. Young Wills had an ace. Now, get this. On the ninth hole at Manly, 274-metre par 4.
Jeez.
Hole in one.
I saw this in the local press, I think in the Manly Daily or something. Yeah, he had an albatross on the par 4.
Yeah. How good is that? Unbelievable.
Yeah, you're riding that one home for the rest of your life, aren't you?
Oh, mate, I know a couple of blokes who were there. Tiger, a mate of mine, he said, yeah, I was in the group there, and he saw it. He said, I couldn't believe it. So this young bloke just up there, and he's a slip of a kid, a 21-year-old, a good kid, comes from good stock. His father's... Mother's good. His father was here, but he played front row, so it's a bit of a problem there. So I thought there's two good goal stories, particularly young Will. I thought that was fantastic.
That's albatross and a par 4. Outstanding. Over the back of Robbo's story, he's the bloke he knew who hit a albatross on the par 4. Hey, boys, I hit an albatross on a par 5 at Tuncurry years ago. Poor bird was never the same. No name to that one. That's one right up your alley, Loz.
Ah, it is, Mitter. It is.
How are your jokes going? Haven't heard one for ages. Your dad jokes. You got any new ones?
Any new ones? No, I heard a couple on the weekend that I can't repeat.
Mm. Oh, really? Yeah. Not for radio?
Oh, well, Greg Ritchie and Sam Kekovich.
Ooh, good combo.
Yeah.
Good combo.
Good lunch on Friday.
Mm. You normally write them down.
I wrote them down.
Yeah, you love a good dad joke, don't you?
Yeah, there's another. Yeah, there was a few out of that luncheon that I
keep.
Well, I do. I make notes in my phone when I'm hearing them, and I'll work on them at home.
Turn into your own words.
Yeah, I use them in front of Will. You know,
and just chat.
What does Will say?
He just looks at me. He'll go, "Dad, that needs a bit more work." So I put a bit more pepper on, or a bit more salt, as they say. And away we go.
Oh my God.
So when I get down to the pub, I'll use it.
You're ready to rock.
Do you ever use them without any audience
No. Well, what do you mean? No. I'll always use it before I use it on the group.
I mean, no one would ever admit that, let's face it.
You know,
You troll them first.
I'll use it with my kids.
Ever go to the wife and go, babe,
she just says I'm a goose anyway, so that doesn't matter. But I tell my kids or their mates. Isn't it funny? Your kids don't like your jokes, but their mates love them.
Yeah, but hang on a second. As a friend, you just laugh because it's your mate's dad as well. Like, you be polite.
Great point.
You know what I mean? You mightn't like it, but you go, you know what? It's Will's dad. It's Will's dad. I just got it mad. I'm in his house. I'm eating his loaf of bread right now. Yeah. I just got to be polite.
No, I look at it the other way. Jeez, he's cool.
I bet you do.
Jeez, walking around cool. His son's hoodie.
I don't take it off either. I walked into the pub the other week with it on. Oh, you should have seen him.
Anyway. So good. Oh, my God.
Brad Davidson, 42.
Guys, back to your albatross chat then. Are we good golfers in the studio?
No, terrible.
No, I'm horrendous.
I play, but I'm terrible.
It's one game that I go from one side of the bush to the other side of the bush, basically.
I can hit them, Davo. Off
just
a tee.
Just not straight.
I've got no idea where they're going, but I'll tell you, once I get hold of them...
it goes.
Yep, it goes.
I had the problem, because I played so much, you know, just club cricket when I was younger... that I'd come through like a drive, so then I'd hit it, and it looked great for the first 100 metres, and then just slice straight into the bush.
Yeah, I got a big dirty slice as well. Not good.
All right, what's this new slot-style race at Toowoomba on New Year's Eve, Davo?
Yeah, King of the Mountain it's called, New Year's Eve at Toowoomba, $750,000, 1,200-metre race for Queensland-bred horses that are prepared by Queensland-based trainers. So we'll see that, the last Saturday in December each year, I think it is. So anyway, so we'll look forward to that. I think Apache Chase has already said he might head towards that race. See what happens in the spring, of course. They've got ambitions to try get in the Tab Everest. And new slot race. So we'll see how that pans out. But it's becoming quite a popular concept, isn't it, after the success of the Everest and other races like it.
What's this year's Golden Slipper winner Fireburn doing at the moment, David?
Well, Loz, she's up to three-quarter pace already and obviously heading towards the run of the rose. But what I love about that she's up to three-quarter pace already, that says that spring's not too far away. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm sick of winter already. So I'm excited by that.
Classique legend, will we see him in the Tab Everest?
Yes, well, a decision to be made in about a month's time, late July, they'll make a call. He's been back from a rehabilitation program for that suspensory ligament. He's been back, I think, in the stables about a month, so they've just been ticking over slowly. So Les Bridge said he'll make a call in about a month's time, so we'll get to know more then. But as far as the moment, as steady as she goes, and hopefully he'll continue to improve and be able to line up in the race, I think, for the fourth time later this year.
What's your best at Canterbury today, and is there anything maybe at a price we could look at?
Yeah, I've gone race 7, number 1, Narrated, and race 3, number 10, Wolves. They're the two for me today. Narrated's come up pretty short this morning after scratchings, but Wolves for around that $3.50 mark, I think, is acceptable. Of course, resuming on the heavy track, which is some concern, but she's got some pretty good form lines going back, beat horses like Mokalua and co, going back last year. So I think she's definitely a good chance today. Race 3, number 10, Wolves. They're the two that I'll signal out. I struggled to find anything at massive odds, I must admit, with the smaller fields and a lot of scratchings there this morning. My horse was due to go around in race 6, but through the outside gate, so we scratched and wait for another day. I see your horse didn't accept Clarkie.
No,
it's nom for
on Saturday, yeah.
Ah, there you go. Go on the big dance. Yeah, I'll just worry about that. You'll go straight to the big dance. So,
I didn't want us competing against each other just yet, Davo.
You rang Waller, did you?
I did. Hey, said, mate, look after Davo. I want Davo's horse to win.
Doesn't want to mess around midweeks, mate. He wants to go straight to the good stuff.
No, I don't mind the midweek. I just don't want to be competing with my mate Davo, that's all. Looking after him.
Davo, you have a good day, mate.
You too, guys. Cheers.